Are you embarrassed easily? I am. But it's nothing to worry about. It's all part of growing up and being British. This course is designed to eliminate embarrassment, to enable you to talk freely about rude objects, to look at awkward and embarrassing things, and to point at people's privates. The course has been designed by Dr. Karl Gruber of the Institute of Going a Bit Red in Helsinki. Here, he himself introduces the course.
Hello, my name is Karl Gruber. Thank you for inviting me into your home. My method is the result of 6 years' work here at the Institute, in which subjects were exposed to simulated embarrassment predicaments over a prolonged fart. Period. Time! Sorry. Lesson one, words. Do any of these words embarrass you?
Shoe.
Megaphone.
Grunties.
Now let's go on to something ruder.
Wankel rotary engine.
Now lesson two, noises. Noises are a major embarrassment source. Even words like tits, winkle, and vibraphone cannot rival the embarrassment potential of sound. Listen to this, if you can. How do you rate your embarrassment response? A. Hi. B. Hello. C. Good evening. If C, you are loosening up and will soon be ready for this. Well, how did you rate? A. Embarrassed. B. Hello. C. Good evening. Now lesson three, in which these rude and dirty sounds are combined with smutty visual suggestions into an embarrassment simulation situation. You are the waiter at this table.
Charles, I've got something to show you.
Score 5 for no embarrassment. Score 3 for slight embarrassment. And 1 for...
Good evening. A book at bedtime. Alan Hutchison reads another extract from a series of bedside books.
Number 32. The lady lies with her left leg planted firmly on the ground and the right hand waiting. The gentleman with the melon switches on the battery and places his left thigh on the edge of the swivel table, keeping the neck of the stuffed goose absolutely...
England, 1747.
Deliver.
Not on your...
Let that be a warning to you all. You move at your peril, for I have two pistols here. I know one of them isn't loaded anymore, but the other one is, so that's one of you dead for sure. Or just about for sure, anyway. It certainly wouldn't be worth your while risking it, because I'm a very good shot. I practice every day. Well, not absolutely every day, but most days in the week. I expect I must practice all... at least 4 or 5 times a week, or more, really, but some weekends, like last weekend, there really wasn't the time, so that brings the average down a bit. I should say it's definitely a solid 4 days' practice a week. At least, I mean, I reckon I could hit that tree over there, the one just behind that hillock. The little hillock, not the big one on the... You see the 3 trees over there? Well, the one furthest away on the right.
Good evening, and welcome to the Money Programme. Tonight, on the Money Programme, we're going to look at money. Lots of it, on film and in the studio. Some of it in nice piles, others in lovely clanky bits of loose change. Some of it neatly counted into fat little hundreds, delicate fivers stuffed into bulging wallets, nice crisp clean checks, pert pieces of copper coinage thrust deep into trouser pockets, romantic foreign money rolling against the thigh with rough familiarity, beautiful wayward curlicued banknotes, filigree copper plating cheek by jowl with tumbling hexagonal milled edges rubbing gently against the terse leather of beautifully balanced bank books. Sorry, but I love money. All money. I've always wanted money, to handle, to touch, the smell of the rain-washed florin, the lure of the lira, the glitter and the glory of the guinea, the romance of the ruble, the feel of the franc, the heel of the Deutschmark, the cold, antiseptic sting of the Swiss franc, and the sunburned splendour of the Australian dollar.
I've got £90,000 in my pyjamas. I've got 40,000 French francs in my fridge. I've got lots of lovely lira, now the Deutschmark's getting dearer, and my dollar bills would buy the Brooklyn Bridge.
There is nothing quite as wonderful as money.
There is nothing quite as beautiful as cash. Some people say it's folly, but I'd rather have the lolly. With money you can make a splash. There is nothing quite as wonderful as money.
Money, money, money.
There is nothing like a newly minted pound.
Money, 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 money.
Everyone must hanker for the butchness of a banker. It's accountancy that wakes the world around.
Round, round, round.
You can keep your Marxist ways, but it's only just a phase. For it's money, money, money makes the world go round.
Money, 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 money.
The one like that with the leaves that are sort of regularly veined and the veins go right out with a sort of,
Serrated
edges.
A willow?
Yes.
That's nothing like a willow.
Well, it doesn't matter anyway. I can hit it 7 times out of 10. That's the point.
Never a willow.
Shut up. It's a holdup, not a botany lesson. Now, no false moves, please. I want you to hand over all the lupins you've got.
Lupins?
Yes, lupins. Come on, come on.
What do you mean, lupins?
Don't try to play for time.
I'm not, but the flower lupin.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, we haven't got any lupins.
Honestly?
Look, my friends, I happen to know that this is the Lupin Express.
Damn.
Oh, here you are.
In a bunch, in a bunch.
Sorry.
Come on, Concord.
Dennis Moore, Dennis Moore, galloping through the sward. Dennis Moore, Dennis Moore, and his horse Concord. He steals from the rich and gives to the poor. Mr. Moore, Mr. Moore, Mr. Moore.
A lot of people in this country poo-poo Australian table wines. This is a pity, as many fine Australian wines appeal not only to the Australian palate, but also to the cognoscenti of Great Britain. Blackstone Bordeaux is rightly praised as a peppermint-flavoured Burgundy, whilst a good Sydney syrup can rank with any of the world's best sugary wines. Chateau Bleu, too, has won many prizes, not least for its taste and its lingering afterburn. Old Smoky, 1968, has been compared favourably to a Welsh claret, whilst the Australian Wino Society thoroughly recommend a 1970 Côte du Rhod Laver, which, believe me, has a kick on it like a mule. 8 bottles of this and you're really finished. At the opening of the Sydney Bridge Club, they were fishing them out of the main sewers every half an hour. Of the sparkling wines, the most famous is Perth Pink. This is a bottle with a message in, and the message is, beware. This is not a wine for drinking. This is a wine for laying down and avoiding. Another good fighting wine is Melbourne Old and Yellow, which is particularly heavy and should be used only for hand-to-hand combat. Quite the reverse is true of Chateau Chunder, which is an Appellation Contrôlée, specially grown for those keen on regurgitation. A fine wine which really opens up the sluices at both ends. Real emetic fans will also go for a Hobart Muddy, and a prize-winning Cuvée Réservé Château bottle Nuit Saint Wagga Wagga, which has a bouquet like an Aborigine's armpit.
Dennis Moore, riding through the night. Soon every lupin in the land will be in his mighty hand. He steals them from the rich and gives them to the poor. Mr. Moore, lupin d'honneur, extraordinary.
I'd like to have an argument, please.
Certainly, sir. Have you been here before?
No, I haven't. This is my first time.
I see. Well, do you want to have just one argument, or were you thinking of taking a course?
Well, what is the cost?
Well, it's £1 for a 5-minute argument, but only £8 for a course of 10.
Well, I think it would be best if I perhaps started off with just the one and then see how it goes.
Fine. Well, I'll see who's free at the moment. Mr. DeBakey's free, but he's a little bit conciliatory. Ah, yes. Try Mr. Barnard, room 12.
Thank you.
What do you want?
Well, I was told outside that...
Don't give me that, you snotty-faced heap of parrot droppings!
What?
Shut your festering gob, you tit! Your type really makes me puke, you vacuous, coffee-nosed, malodorous pervert!
Look, I came here for an argument. I'm not going to just...
Oh, I'm sorry, but this is abuse.
Oh, I see. Well, that explains...
Ah, yes. You want room 12A, just along the corridor.
Oh, thank you very much. Sorry.
Not at all.
Thank you.
Stupid git.
Come in.
Is this the right room for an argument?
I've told you once.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
When?
Just now.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Didn't.
Did.
Didn't.
I'm telling you I did.
You did not.
Oh, I'm sorry, just one moment. Is this a 5-minute argument or the full half hour?
Oh, just the 5 minutes.
Ah, thank you. Anyway, I did.
You most certainly did not.
Look, Let's get this thing clear. I quite definitely told you.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
You didn't.
Did.
Well, look, this isn't an argument.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. It's just contradiction.
No, it isn't.
It is.
It is not.
Look, you just contradicted me.
I did not.
Oh, you did.
No, no, no.
You did just then.
Nonsense.
Oh, look, this is futile.
No, it isn't.
I came here for a good argument.
No, you didn't. No, you came here for an argument.
Well, an argument isn't just contradiction.
Can be.
No, it can't. An argument is a connected series of statements intended to establish a proposition.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. It's not just contradiction.
Look, if I argue with you, I must take up a contrary position.
Yes, but that's not just saying no, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. Argument is an intellectual process. Contradiction is just the automatic gainsaying of any statement the other person makes.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
Not at all.
Now, look.
Good morning.
What?
That's it. Good morning.
I was just getting interested.
Sorry, 5 minutes is up.
That was never 5 minutes.
I'm afraid it was.
It wasn't.
I'm sorry, but I'm not allowed to argue anymore.
What?
If you want me to go on arguing, you'll have to pay for another 5 minutes.
Yes, but that was never 5 minutes just now. Oh, come on. Look, this is ridiculous.
I'm sorry, but I'm not allowed to argue unless you've paid.
Oh, all right.
Thank you.
Well?
Well, what?
That wasn't really 5 minutes just now.
I told you, I'm not allowed to argue unless you've paid.
I just paid.
No, you didn't.
I did.
No, you didn't.
Look, I don't want to argue about
that. Well, you didn't pay.
Aha! If I didn't pay, why are you arguing? I've got you.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have. If you're arguing, I must have paid.
Not necessarily. I could be arguing in my spare time.
Oh, I've had enough of this.
No, you haven't.
Oh, shut up. I want to complain.
You want to complain? Look at these shoes on. I had them 3 weeks and the heels are worn right through.
No, I want to complain
if you complain, nothing happens. You might as well not bother.
Oh.
And my back hurts and when I'm having a fine day and I'm sick and tired of this office.
Hello, I want to... Oh!
No, no, no. Hold your head like this. Then go, wow. Try it again.
Whoa!
Better, better, but wow, wow. Put your hand there.
No.
Now.
Wow!
Good, good, that's it.
Stop hitting me.
What?
Stop hitting me.
Stop hitting you?
Yes.
Why'd you come in here then?
I wanted to complain.
Oh, no, that's next door. It's being hit on the head lessons in here.
What a stupid concept.
Hello, children.
Hello.
Hello. Well, last week we showed you how to be a gynecologist, and this week on How to Do It, we're going to learn how to play the flute, how to split the atom, how to construct box girder bridges,
super,
and how to irrigate the Sahara and make vast new areas cultivatable. But first, here's Jackie to tell you how to rid the world of all known diseases.
Hello, Alan.
Hello, Jackie.
Well, first of all, become a doctor and discover a marvellous cure for something, and then when the medical world really starts to take notice of you, you can jolly well tell them what to do and make sure they get everything right so there'll never be diseases anymore.
Thanks, Jackie. That was great.
Fantastic.
Now, how to play the flute? Well, you blow in one end and move your fingers up and down the outside.
Great, Alan.
Super.
Well, next week we'll be showing you how black and white people can live together in peace and harmony.
Fantastic.
And Alan will be over in Moscow showing you how to reconcile the Russians and the Chinese. Till then, cheerio.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Dennis Moore is not in this bit.
Hello, Mrs. Primmis.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Conclusion.
Busy day?
Busy? I just spent 4 hours burying the cat.
4 hours to bury the cat?
Yes, I wouldn't keep still, wriggling about, howling.
Oh, it's not dead then?
Oh, no, no, but it's not at all a well cat. And as we're going away for a fortnight, I thought I'd better bury it just to be on the safe side.
Right, right. You don't want to come back from Sorrento to a dead cat, do you?
Yes.
We've decided to have the budgie put down.
Oh, is it very old then?
No, we just don't like it.
Oh, how do they put budgies down?
Well, it's funny you should ask that. I've been reading a great big book on how to put your budgie down. And evidently you can either hit them with the book, or you can shoot them there just above the beak.
Mrs. Essence flushed hers down the loo.
Oh, that's dangerous, because they breed in the sewers, and eventually you get huge, evil-smelling flocks of soiled budgies flying out of people's lavatories, infringing their personal freedom.
Personal freedom infringed? Ring Slater Nazi, City 0478, or, if closed, the Department of Trade and Industry.
Fourth gentleman required to share large hamster gentleman.
Dennis Moore, Dennis Moore, dum 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 the night. Dennis Moore, dum 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 the plight. He steals dum 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 and dum 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 me. Dennis dum, Dennis D, dum dum dum.
Hello, I would like to buy a fish licence, please.
A what?
A licence for my pet fish, Eric.
How did you know my name was Eric?
No, my fish's name is Eric. Eric the fish. He's an halibut.
What?
He is an halibut.
You've got a pet halibut?
Yes, I chose him out of thousands. I didn't like the others, they were all too flat.
You must be a loony.
I am not a loony. Why should I be tired with the epithet loony merely because I have a pet halibut? I've heard tell that Sir Gerald Nabardo has a pet prawn called Simon. You wouldn't call him a loony. Furthermore, Dawn Palethorpe, the lady show jumper, had a clam called Stafford after the late Chancellor. Alan Bullock has two pikes, both called Chris, and Marcel Proust had an adduck. So if you're calling the author of A la recherche du temps perdu a loony, I shall have to ask you to step outside.
All right. A licence?
Yes.
For a fish?
Yes.
You are a loony.
Look, it's a bleeding pet, isn't it? I got to license me pet dog, Eric. I got to license me pet cat, Eric.
You don't need a license for your cat.
I bleeding well do and I got one. Can't be caught out though.
There is no such thing as a bloody cat license.
Yes, there is.
No, there isn't.
Isn't. Oh, bleeding got one. Look. What's that then?
This is a dog license with the word dog crossed out and cat written in crayon.
Man didn't have the right form.
What man?
The man from the cat detector van.
The loony detector van, you mean.
Look, it's people like you what cause unrest.
What cat detector van?
The cat detector van from the Ministry of Housing.
Housing?
It was spelt like that on the van. I'm very observant. I've never seen so many bleeding aerials. The man said their equipment could pinpoint a purr at 400 yards, and Eric, being such a happy cat, was a piece of cake.
How much did you pay for this?
60 quid and 8 for the fruit bat.
What fruit bat?
Eric the fruit bat.
Oh, your pet's called Eric.
There's nothing so odd about that. Kemal Ataturk had an entire menagerie called Abdul.
No, he didn't.
Did.
Didn't.
Did.
All right.
Spoken like a gentleman, sir. Now, are you going to give me a fish license?
I promise you that there is no such thing. You don't need one.
In that case, give me a bee license.
A license for your pet bee?
Correct.
Called Eric. Eric the bee?
Nope.
No?
No. Eric the off bee. He had an accident.
You're off your chump.
Look, if you intend by that utilisation of an obscure colloquialism to imply that my sanity is not up to scratch, or indeed to deny the semi-existence of my little chum, Eric the Half-Bee, I shall have to ask you to listen to this. Take it away, Eric the orchestra leader.
I want two, three, four.
Half-a-bee, philosophically, must ipso facto half not be. But half the bee has got to be vis-a-vis its entity. Do you see? But can a bee be said to be or not to be an entire bee when half the bee is not a bee due to some ancient injury? Singing.
La-dee-dee, a 1, 2, 3. Eric the half a bee. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Eric the half a bee. Is this a wretched demi-bee? Half asleep upon my knee. Some freak from a menagerie? No, it's Eric the half a bee. A fiddly-dum, a fiddle-dee-dee, Eric the half-a-bee. Ho, 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 tee-dee-hee, Eric the half-a-bee. I love this hive employee, bisected accidentally one summer afternoon by me. I love him carnally. He loves him carnally, semi-carnally.
The end.
Cyril Connolly?
No, semi-carnally.
Oh.
Cyril Connolly.
Got
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of What Do You... A new radio quiz game loosely based on all the old radio quiz games. The rules are very simple. We shall ask a team of two personalities, Lord Elpis...
Hello.
..and the Deaconess of Detroit...
Hello.
..a series of questions in either category, or special category. If they get it right, they get a... And if they get a wrong answer, they get a... from the studio audience. At the end of the contest, they will hear this, and they must stop immediately. At any point in the proceedings, they may be given a... which means they can ask for another question, or if they hear a... it's the fire alarm. When they want to interrupt a... or a... but not a... question, they must press their special buttons. Lord Elpis, will you press yours? And Deaconess, yours. If they get it right, they get 15 points on the scoreboard here, 4 letters on the radio blackboard for each correct part, and a shot from our mystery gunner. Like so. In the event of a tie, I shall start the clock. So, and there will be a choice of either a... or a... for the first of either the... contestant or the... contestant who can make the golden word Birmingham from his 4 letters. And he will get a... which will mean he's this week's winner. Right, well, those very simply are the rules. We'll be back again same time next week. Till then, goodbye from Lord Elpis.
Goodbye.
The Deaconess of Detroit.
Bye.
And from me, it's...
And now, here is a magnificent recording made in the Wye Valley of an ordinary travel agent's office. Note the huge-breasted typist in the background.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Do you want to come upstairs?
I beg your pardon?
Do you want to come upstairs? Oh, or have you come to arrange a holiday?
To arrange a holiday?
Oh, sorry.
What's all this about coming upstairs?
Oh, nothing. Now, where were you thinking of going?
India.
Ah, one of our adventure holidays.
Yes.
Well, you better see Mr. Bounder about that. Mr. Bounder, this gentleman is interested in the India Overland.
Morning, I'm Bounder of Adventure.
Hello, I'm Smoke Too Much.
Well, you'd better cut down a little then.
I'm sorry?
You'd better cut down a little then.
Oh, I see. Smoke too much, so I'd better cut down a little then.
Yes. I bet you get people making jokes about your name all the time, eh?
No, I've never noticed it before.
So you're interested in one of our adventure holidays, are you?
Yes, I saw your advert in the Buller supplement.
The what?
The Buller supplement.
The colour supplement?
Yes, I'm sorry, I can't say the letter B.
C?
Yes, that's right. It's all due to a trauma I suffered when I was a schoolboy. I was attacked by a bat.
A cat?
No, a bat.
Oh, well, can you say the letter K?
Oh, yes. Khaki, kind, kettle, kipling, kipper, Kuwait, Keeble, Bollage, Oxford.
Yes. Well, why don't you use the letter K instead of the letter C?
What, spell Buller with a K?
Yes.
Colour. Oh, thank you. I never thought of that. What a silly bunt.
Anyway, about the holiday.
Well, yes, I've been on package tours many times, and so your advert really bought my eye.
Ah, good.
Yes, you're quite right. I'm fed up with being treated like a sheep. I mean, what's the point of going abroad if you're just another tourist carted round in buses surrounded by sweaty minus O's from Ketchin and Boventry in their cloth caps and their cardigans with their transistor radios and their Sunday mirrors complaining about the tea? Oh, they don't make it properly here, do they? Not like at home. And stopping at Majorcan Bodegas selling fish and chips and Watney's Red Barrel and calamari. Morris and two veg and sitting in their cotton sunfrocks, squirting Timothy White sun cream all over their puffy, raw, swollen, purulent flesh because they overdid it on the first day. And being herded into endless hotel Miramars and Bellevues and Bontinentals with their modern international luxury roomettes and draft red barrel and swimming pools full of fat German businessmen pretending they're acrobats, forming pyramids and frightening the children and barging in the queues. And if you're not at your table spot on seven, you miss the bowl of Campbell's cream and mushroom soup, first item on the menu of international cuisine. And every Thursday night, the hotel has a bloody cabaret in the bar featuring a tiny emaciated dago with 9-inch hips and some bloated fat tart with their air brill cream down and a big ass presenting flamenco for foreigners.
Shut up!
And had an idle typist from Birmingham with flabby white legs and diarrhea trying to pick up hairy, bandy leg what weight to score Manuel. And once a week, there's an excursion to the local Roman ruins to buy cherryade and melted ice cream and
bleeding
Watney's Red Barrel. And one evening you visit the so-called typical restaurant with local colour and atmosphere, and you sit next to a party of people from Rill who keep singing Tare Molinos, Tare Molinos, and complaining about the food. It's so greasy here, isn't it? And you get cornered by some drunken greengrocer from Luton with an Instamatic and Dr. Skull sandals and Tuesday's Daily Express, and he drones on and on and on about how Mr. Smith should be running this country and how many languages Enoch Powell can speak, and then he throws up all over the Cuba Libras and sending
tinted postcards of places they don't realise they haven't visited to all at number 22. Weather wonderful. Our room is marked with an X. Food very greasy, but we found a charming little local place hidden away in the back streets where they serve Watney's Red Barrel and cheese and onion crisps. And the important thing is, maybe it's because I'm a Londoner.